I've come to Colossians, and I want to talk this morning from verses 24 and 25. And I've titled it, Jesus in the Core of Suffering. As I was looking at this passage, it was this idea of suffering. And many of us would like to have anything or experience anything but suffering. And that, but here, Paul, speaking to the Colossian church, and he mentioned specifically, now I rejoice in my sufferings. What a bizarre phrase to mention to a church that he had not even been involved with. And it was a church that was basically a daughter work of his Ephesus ministry. And Epaphras was the one that was leading the church. And so here, Paul mentions to them that he rejoices in his sufferings for their sake. See, we all come through a time in our lives. Maybe some of us are looking back, but some of us are looking forward to wondering what we will be doing after our school years are finished. And maybe those who are in high school now are already thinking about that. What are you going to do? What's going to be after high school? And some of you look back upon that time. For some of you, you had noble visions of a terrific opportunity found after going through more schooling. And maybe for some of you, you continued on into university, and now you are being able to utilize the education that you got. For others, you were content to finish school, get out and find a job, and you're seeking to work through the advancements in that job to the position that you have now. Or maybe you started an apprenticeship, and you're working through an apprenticeship, or have finished an apprenticeship after that school. You would have had great thoughts about getting your first paycheck, and what you could do with all those possibilities that seemingly came with that first paycheck. And then you soon realized that there was lots of hands out for a piece of that first paycheck. And that everybody has their hands out for a little piece of it. And soon you realize that I'm going to have to keep working because this didn't go very far. And that you got to experience that. We got to experience that in a small way when we were in Papua New Guinea. And that when it got to be payday for our workers on the base, then all the families knew when payday was. And they were all outside the fence, and they were all looking for a piece of that paycheck of that worker. And so they had to experience that whole, what we call, Wontog system, that they had a responsibility to give some of their finances to their family as well. One of the things, as I was saying, this whole area that we didn't factor in, that was not on our radar, was the possibility of suffering along the road ahead. See, suffering only happens in the lives of others, and not until you get up in years. Suffering is for somebody else. Suffering is what happens when you start working towards older years in our lives. But maybe you've got to experience suffering already in your life. Paul was not factoring that in his part of his life, because he describes in Acts 9 verse 1, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He was the one that was seeking to be that for some others. That's caused them suffering, but not suffering for him. As an agent for the priests, he was seeking to be faithful to God and putting down this new upstart group. And so we soon realize that it is possible to be religious and yet be an enemy of God. You see, God met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life with the truth that he was not being a champion for God, but was persecuting him. So it is possible to be religious. It is possible to be a faithful church goer. It is possible to be involved in church ministry and yet still be an enemy of God. As Paul realized, until God brought him to that place where he met him on that road and he came to the realization that he was not being a champion for God, but he was being a person who was persecuting him. And so thus we see the relationship of Christ to the church as well in that picture. In that when we persecute the church, we're persecuting Christ. And the whole relationship that we have as we seek to walk this life, we are not walking it alone, we are walking it with Christ. And when we persecute, when the church is persecuted, and Christ is persecuted as well. 3 days later, God led Ananias to go and lay hands on Paul so that he might regain his sight. During this conversation, God told Ananias that Paul would be given a commission from God to carry the gospel to the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. With this commission would come suffering as well along with that. And thus we read in Acts 9 verse 16, "For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." His ministry was going to be marked with suffering, and the inference is that it would be a significant amount. What a ministry challenge to begin. Why would anybody want to take on a ministry that was going to be marked by suffering? Would you take on a ministry such as this if you knew that suffering was going to be part of the package that God had for you? If God was calling you to a ministry with a component of suffering, would you go? Would you seek to be obedient to what God was calling you to? I'm not sure if Ananias informed him of this or when God would have shown him this fact, but yet we come to our passage in Colossians 1, verse 24 and 25. And if you have your Bibles open this morning, let me read this passage to you. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. Paul lets us in on some of the sufferings he went through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And when you read that list of all the things that God took him through, that God allowed into his life to experience, we would say, wow, why? What was the purpose? Is there a purpose behind all this? And then we come to 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. And maybe you have come to this place in your own life, in your own experiences, where you came to that place where you despaired even of life. And that was Paul. And Paul shares that with the Corinthian church. But Peter in 1 Peter 4 verse 13 shares, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. It wasn't just something that Paul sought to express, but here Peter also expresses that same thought. Keep on rejoicing in the midst of suffering. How do you do that? How can Paul do that? And why would he want to experience all that? See, this rejoicing was not something manufactured, but was a present act of volitional choice of Paul's will to express joy despite the circumstances. He made a choice that in the midst of this, that didn't make it any less of an experience. It didn't make it any less of an experience that he was having. But he decided in that moment that he was going to operate in the realm of rejoicing. And he could do that because of who he was serving. See, this involves a physical change in your countenance. See, our looks communicate what our expressions and demeanor communicate much. Do you know that a lot of first impressions is gained before you even open up your mouth, before you even say anything? People read your face, they read your mannerisms. They know, they'll be able to describe a lot about your character from just how you present yourself. How many of us walk around with that morose look? And often I'm accused of that, and I have to be careful, and I have to learn that expression as well. To put a joyful demeanor on my face so that others will see, well, he's not just loves green persimmons or loves limes or whatever, and he just enjoys sucking on them all day long, and that's the reason why he looks that way. But we present an image. And so what image are you presenting to those around you in the situation that you're walking through? Doesn't make it any less, but can we present an image of rejoicing? Paul was not the one who began this church, but he still makes the statement that he was presently suffering on their behalf. Many from the church had never met him. If you look over into chapter 2, you would see that many of the people in this church had never come across Paul. Yeah, they knew his name, because I'm sure Epaphras often shared about him, but they had never met him. The suffering he is talking about is not a general teaching about suffering as an item in a textbook, but is in reference to the very pain he was presently dealing with, and he is referring to the present reality of the sufferings in his life. And at that time, he was in prison in Rome. Being an apostle did not exempt him from suffering in his life, nor would he have wanted it to be that way. And he came to experience the grace of God at a level that far exceeded a life lived apart from suffering. He got to experience the grace of God in his life to a degree that would not have been there if that suffering, if that thorn in the flesh would have not been there. Because when he talked about the thorn in the flesh, as we read in 2 Corinthians, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, God's grace is sufficient. Have we experienced God's grace in our life in the midst of difficulties that we have walked through? And Paul here was wanting to share with them and some of the grace of God as well. Though Paul was imprisoned at Rome, he never saw himself as a prisoner of Rome, but he constantly referred to being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In the suffering that he was going through, obviously God, in his sovereignty, had allowed it to happen. And as he walked through it, experiencing God's sustaining strength, God's sustaining grace. He mentions that he is filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. He is not meaning that Christ's afflictions in any way were lacking or that they were deficient in worth or merit, as though they could not sufficiently cover the sins of all who believed. And so the afflictions are lacking in the sense that they are not seen and known among the nations. The sufferings of Christ are not lacking in any way in reference to propitiation, in reference to the payment that Christ made for our sin. God, at the cross, Christ propitiated our sin. He made the payment for our sin debt. It was taken care of. But what was lacking is what is called propagation, the advancement of that teaching, the advancement of that knowledge to around the world that the world might know. They must be carried by ministers of the word, and these ministers of the word fill up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ by extending them to others. And when I use that word ministers, I'm not just referring to a group we often refer to as pastors. We're all ministers of the gospel. We all need to be involved in advancing the afflictions of Christ to around the world by sharing, and by the world might see and know the sufferings of Christ. Christ had prepared a love offering for the world by suffering and dying for sinners. And it is full and lacking in nothing except one thing, a personal presentation by Christ himself to the nations of the world and the people of your workplace. We need to take the sufferings of Christ to the world that they might know, that they might see the sufferings of Christ. But how about just going to the mission field that God has placed you within? Can we go that far? Your Jerusalem that you are in at the moment. Can you advance the gospel? Can you advance the sufferings of Christ in the place that he has placed you presently? Whether that be the coworker across the cubicle, whether that be the person you're working beside. And God wants to see his word, his truth, advance. God's answer to this lack is to call the people of Christ, people like Paul, to present the afflictions of Christ to the world, to carry them from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Paul sees a close connection between his sufferings and Christ's afflictions. God intends for the afflictions of Christ to be presented to the world through the afflictions of his people. God really means for the body of Christ, the church, to experience some of the sufferings that he experienced, so that we, when we offer the Christ of the cross to people, they may see the Christ of the cross in us. When people look at you, what are they seeing? What do you bear testimony of? God is calling us in this text to live for the sake of the gospel and to possibly do that through suffering. Christ chose suffering. It did not just happen to him. He chose it as the way to create and perfect the church. And Paul knew that his days were ending and there was not too many days left that he would be able to fill up what is lacking in Christ's suffering. And he would be needing to pass on the baton onto another generation. My lap in the relay race is drawing to a close, and you need to get ready to receive the baton and move it forward. And Paul hears, he's coming to the end of his days. We know in writing of the 2 Timothy was one of the last books before God took him home. And I'm sure that Paul realized that he didn't have too many days left. I want to pass on the baton. And his word to us today is, I'm passing the baton on to you, that you might carry on and the afflictions of Christ to around the world. Paul in Philippians 3 verse 10 speaks of the fellowship of his suffering. As he walked in a koinonia relationship, he experienced the power and presence of Christ that was only a short step from being physically in his presence. As we read that passage, he talks about there the fellowship of his sufferings, the koinonia, the one anothering that he got to experience in that time of suffering. Have you got to experience that in the sufferings that God has had you go through? The fellowship of his sufferings. Suffering in this present time will result in future reward. In Romans 8, 17 to 18, these present sufferings are not worthy of being compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. And there is also present blessings. According to 1 Peter 4:14, he says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. If that is what is going on because you're suffering because of your identity as a child of God, then this morning, the title upon you is, you are blessed. Have you experienced the blessing of God in your life as you sought to share the gospel, the rejection that you may have taken? Paul speaks to the Philippian believers that his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. The gospel advanced because of the sufferings that Paul went through. Spurgeon has made this statement: I am sure I have derived more real benefit and permanent strength and growth and grace and every precious thing from the furnace of affliction than I have ever derived from prosperity. And if you know anything about Spurgeon's life, he dealt with a period of great depression throughout his ministry. But yet God still mightily used him. The story is told by Michael Card, and I'm not sure if you might have heard this story, of a Maasai warrior named Joseph. Let me just read it to you, an expression of carrying Christ's sufferings around the world. One day, Joseph, who was walking along one of those dusty, dirty African roads, met someone who shared the gospel of Jesus with him. Then and there, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. The power of the Spirit began transforming his life. He was filled with such excitement and joy that the first thing he wanted to do was return to his own village and share that same good news with the members of his local tribe. Joseph began going from door to door, telling everyone he met about the cross, suffering of Jesus, and the salvation it offered, expecting to see their faces light up the way he has had. To his amazement, the villagers not only didn't care, they became violent. The men of the village seized him and held him to the ground while the women beat him with strands of barbed wire. He was dragged from the village and left to die alone in the bush. Joseph somehow managed to crawl to a water hole, and there, after days of passing in and out of consciousness, he found the strength to get up. He wondered about the hostile reception he had received from people he had known all his life. He decided he must have left something out or told the story of Jesus incorrectly. After rehearsing the message he had first heard, he decided to go back and share his faith once more. Joseph limped into the circle of huts and began to proclaim Jesus. He died for you so that you might find forgiveness and come to know the living God. He pleaded. Again, he was grabbed by the men of the village and held while the women beat him, reopening wounds that had just begun to heal. Once more, they dragged him unconscious from the village and left him to die. To have survived the first beating was truly remarkable. To live through the second was a miracle. Again, days later, Joseph awoke in the wilderness, bruised and scarred, and determined to go back. He returned to the small village, and this time they attacked him before he had a chance to open his mouth. As they flogged him for the third and probably the last time, he again spoke to them of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Before he passed out, the last thing he saw was that the women who were beating him began to weep. This time he awoke in his own bed. The ones who had so severely beaten him were now trying to save his life and nurse him back to health. The entire village had come to Christ. This one vivid example of what Paul meant when he said, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body. What lengths have you gone in sharing the gospel and carrying the afflictions of Christ to the people that he has given you influence with? Paul Tripp has written, suffering is never abstract, theoretical, or impersonal. Suffering is real, tangible, personal, and specific. Your suffering is more powerfully shaped by what is in your heart than what is in your body or in the world around you. Suffering always puts your heart under attack. Your heart attitude about your suffering will have a substantial impact on your suffering. We will have a choice of whether we turn in anger toward God or in dependence on God for rejoicing amid our suffering. What is your heart attitude when that happens to you? When suffering is something that you are presently facing, do we turn in anger or we turn in the power of the Spirit and we rejoice? Paul was given the ministry of being a minister to the church according to the stewardship from God. The language that Paul uses packs a depth of meaning as he says that there was a point in time when he was brought into existence with the purpose of being a minister. Damascus Road experience is the time when Paul came into existence as a minister of the Word of God. And when you look at your own life and your experience of coming to Christ, and many of you here have a personal testimony of a time when God met you on your Damascus Road experience, what ministry did God give you? Do you know what that ministry is? Are you seeking to fulfill the ministry, even if it involves suffering? God met him in a dynamic fashion and redirected his efforts. But Paul also came to the place of repentance and began a new life shaped by the Spirit of God. It was a specific ministry for Paul, prepared by God, that of being a minister. The word minister here is the Greek word diakonos. We translate the word often as servant or one who serves. And God gave him the role of being a servant. And I dare say this morning that God has also given you the ministry of being a servant. Can you be a servant in where God has placed you? It would involve mundane activities such as waiting at tables or caring for household needs, activities without apparent dignity. Since such service necessarily involves dependent submission and constraints of time and freedom, the Greeks regarded a diakonos as a degrading and dishonorable position. Service for the public good was honored, but voluntary giving of oneself in service of one's fellow man is alien to Greek thought. And so it would go against the grain of society of that time to seek to be a diakonos. And here this morning, Brad already shared about opportunities to get involved in church ministry, to become a servant. This morning, will you prayerfully consider where God may have you serve? God, what role do you want me to play in this ministry? Do you have a place for me? And allow God to direct you and move you to that what he has already prepared. The New Testament introduces a radically new attitude towards ministry. And so the diakonos is not reflective of the activity of a lesser to a greater, but is the lifestyle of a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul states that the character of those who truly preach the gospel is that they are servants. How are you doing in your servant role this morning? Ministry is not the activity of a spiritual aristocracy or the work of a professional class, but is the lifestyle, responsibility, and privilege of every believer. And so if somebody were asked you to share your testimony, how would you share about the ministry that God has given to you when the time when you came in personal faith and repentance before him, and God placed upon you the responsibility of being a servant? How are you doing in that role this morning? The house that Paul was to manage was God's house, the church. And God was the one who assigned the specific ministry to Paul, as God has bestowed Paul with this specific task. This speaks to the will of the giver and is not based on any presumed or real merit of the recipient. It's in the sovereign hands of God to place upon us the responsibility, and he placed upon Paul the responsibility of going to the Gentiles, and also in the whole area of suffering as well. The happiest people in the world are the people who know the mystery of Christ in them, the hope of glory, satisfying their deep longing and freeing them to extend the sufferings of Christ through their own to the world. God is calling us in this text to live for the sake of the gospel and to possibly do that through suffering. Christ chose suffering. It did not just happen to him. He chose it as the way to create and perfect the church. He calls us to take up the cross and follow him on the Calvary Road and deny ourselves and make sacrifices for the sake of presenting his suffering to the world and ministering to the church. That's the call of God that he placed upon you. He didn't just place it upon the whole ministers of the gospel. He didn't just place it upon Paul. He placed that upon the church to serve the church. Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12 says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Are you rejoicing in the midst of seeming suffering? You may face criticism and insults in your ministry in the church and feel tempted to quit and run, but it is possible to rejoice and be glad if we are being faithful in what God has called us to do. Paul's attacks came from two directions. He suffered the attacks of those he sought to reach with the gospel, He suffered at the hands of the Jews who sought to stop the advance of the gospel. And thus, when we seek to step forward and be obedient to Christ, we will also have opportunity for suffering as well, not only from those we are seeking to reach, but also from those who we seemingly believe are of the household of faith. We will suffer attack from those we are trying to reach with the gospel and from fellow believers sitting on the sidelines. We can make the choice to rejoice and be glad, or we can make the choice to be offended, quit, and run. And I believe here Paul is saying, would you also carry the afflictions of Christ to the people that you have influence with? Let us make the choice to see the gospel move forward, even by chance that involves suffering. Would we not allow suffering to stop us in what God would seemingly have for us? Perchance. May God just challenge us with those thoughts. Let me just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your grace in Paul's life as he demonstrated that by rejoicing in the seeming adversity. And may we be able to experience that as well, that we would not allow suffering or the threat or of suffering to stop us from living out the gospel in the places of influence that you've given to each of us, that we might be lights for you, and that our personalities and our looks might demonstrate that rejoicing as well. For we pray this in your name. Amen.